Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend is done, and we head on to the divisional rounds. But before I talk football, let me take a minute to address the events of last Wednesday at the Capitol, Washington, D.C. As you know, we really spend a lot of time on sports, mostly football, but every now and again, there comes a time where you've got to address. And it seems I've been doing this show for 11, 12 years, man, it seems for some reason in the last 4 years, I've had to felt the need to address current events more frequently than previously. I wonder why. You are certainly aware of what went on, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I am going to save this. If you are still a Trump supporter today, shame on you. Shame on you. It's simply appalling what we saw last Wednesday, and that he incited that riot. And I'm just wondering where all the people are that had such a problem with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee and saying how he disrespected this country, he disrespected the flag, he disrespected our military. Where are those people now? I don't hear you now. Where are you? So a knee was a problem, but thousands of people going in and people dying at our nation's capital, it's okay, because you're awfully quiet. I don't hear people complaining. And don't get me wrong, we have earned the right to protest in this country. Peaceful protest is okay. But I hear all you people complaining about Black Lives Matter and all the stuff, all the protests that they were doing. And some of those, unfortunately, did lead to some property destruction. And, you know, yep. And I was very vocal to say I don't approve of that at all. But where are you now? Where are you now? I thought Blue Lives Mattered. Where are all you Blue Lives Matter people that wanted to talk about how cop lives matter, too? I never said they didn't. Well, we need to respect our law enforcement. I never said not to. I just said they need to respect people of color, too. But where are you now when these thousands of people had no respect for our government and no respect for our law enforcement? None. Zero. And I don't hear any of you complaining now. I don't hear a word. It's just amazing, the double standard in this country. It's amazing. Take some time and watch some of the news coverage. Just take some time and watch it. I don't care what network you watch. I have not watched Fox. I'm not going to lie. They tend to be biased. I'm sorry. But I've watched four or five other ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. I've watched, and it's all been the same videos of what's been going on. And it is just disgusting. I didn't agree with them going to impeach Donald Trump a second time. I thought it was a waste of time, a waste of energy. He's out in a week. People are afraid of what he might do and get him out of office because, okay, you're going to wait. It's been 4 years. Now you're afraid. I didn't agree with it till I heard that if he is impeached this time and he is, I'm not sure the exact process, but there is something with the second impeachment that could prevent him from ever taking public office again. I heard that. I said, yeah, okay, I changed my mind. Now you got Republicans that are saying, yeah, let's impeach him. We don't want him part of our party. So if you support Donald Trump, shame on you. Shame on you. That's all I got to say. We may touch on it a little bit during the show. Bill Belichick was supposed to get the Medal of Freedom, and he turned it down. We may touch on that a little bit, see what the guy's thoughts are on it. But I want to get back. Usual, football always brings peace when the nation is at unrest. We had a great 3 days of football, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and then a college football game last night. And it was so nice to not have to watch all that stuff and just enjoy football. And that's what sports does. It gets you to take a minute and just say, hey, there's more to life than having to sit and deal with some of this craziness that's going on. So now I'm going to change channels and change my focus. Bring on my guys because they're here. They're ready to go. I've got K-Star. I've got JB, and I've got the one and only Dr. Train, who I understand is back to work this week. And on top of his Bears losing, he's back to work. So he's not too happy. He's been happy the last 2 weeks. Dr. Train's been happy. I don't know how happy he's going to be tonight. Got JB in the house. Got K. I know K-Star ain't happy. Got the fellas in the house. Gentlemen,
that's for damn sure.
Welcome to the Madden Bar.
Hey, guys.
Yo. I get over it.
Hey, I want to jump right in, guys. I don't really feel the need to spend any more time on the Washington stuff. If you guys want to at any point touch on it, that's your right. It's our show. But I'm going to jump right into football because I have been waiting to have a talk with this person. I have been waiting for this. Mr. K-Star, Mr. Madden Nation, Mr. Ollie Quick on the Sticks, the guy who I can honestly say is a true Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You and I disagree all the time. That's okay. We can disagree. Disagreeing is fine in life. It's okay. Just don't be disagreeable. Or we can disagree, and we do disagree, and that's okay. And you, I must say, I'm in your corner when it comes to your level of support for your team. You are a true Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Through and through. No one can ever say that. Take that away from you. You don't waffle. You don't wave. You don't punch. You got your team back. I want you to explain. I don't want to talk about schemes and stuff, okay? Y'all bore me when y'all get in that. Well, they should have did the double rubs and rejected. I don't care. This ain't what in God's name was that mess we saw this weekend from your team? What happened? How do you let Baker Mayfield come in and punch y'all in the mouth in your stadium on Sunday Night Football in the playoffs? K-Star, please explain.
Before I do, either JB or Train, there's a lot of feedback, and I want to make sure people hear me crystal clear. Okay. It was an abomination what happened on Sunday Night Football. It was a disgrace. You knew it was all bad when our first play was a fucking snap, fumble, touchdown. Went 10 feet over Ben Roethlisberger's head. Bro.
He's an all pro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should let you talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, fuck. You know, I thought we'd still win, of course, but it was an ominous sign. The biggest disappointment for me was the fact that the Steelers defense was so awful. You know, we couldn't get a stop when it mattered. Early in the game,
bruh.
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry is just running free through our defense. We got 48 at home. It was the first 48 on the football field on Sunday. We got murdered. And it was terrible, and it was disgraceful. And, you know, I knew we had injuries, but to give up 48 is inexcusable. There was no threshold in which that should have ever been exceeded. You know, giving up over 30 points already would have been a disaster. This defense held the Browns to 7 points in Pittsburgh. Hell, the previous week, I think we held them to 24 points. And you mean to tell me we come home and just choke like dogs? I mean, T.J. Watt – one defensive player of the year, and you know, great player, but my goodness, he wasn't really making plays either. You know, and Tua and Hayward, we couldn't stop the run. It was just disgraceful. And, you know, obviously we had errors on offense, but for me, the biggest just regrettable thing was how poor our defense played, because I knew our offense would fight back, and sure enough, they did. But to lose to the Browns, to lose to Baker Mayfield, and let them go through our defense like Swiss cheese. The defense is what led the Steelers to an 11-0 record. Our offense was good, don't get me wrong, during that stretch, but our defense was absolutely the reason and the cog in the machine, and that machine failed big time, and it was one of the most embarrassing losses in Steelers playoff history, frankly.
I just have two things to say, and then I'll bring in JB and Train for their thoughts. There's two players right now, in my opinion, that should not be a part of your team next season. First one is Juju Smith-Schuster. I know he had 12 catches or 11 catches, or I don't even care if he had 100 catches. First, he goes and dances on logos. Now he's, the Browns are just the Browns. He's a distraction. You don't need him. He would be gone. Trade, cut, he would be gone. Second one is Ben Roethlisberger. Sorry, Ben. Your best days are behind you. It is clear. You don't have it anymore. Period. Unless you know, he said it. I want to come back if they'll have me. You count $41.3 million. Okay? I can count the number of quarterbacks on one hand and still got some fingers left to pick up some M&Ms and eat. that would be worth $41.3 million next year. And he ain't one of them. I don't know if y'all went all the way and won the Super Bowl if I would still feel that he was. But he definitely ain't worth $41.3 million. Thank you for your service. You've been great. You're going to the Hall of Fame. You're going to the Ring of Honor or whatever y'all call it. That's what the Cowboys call it. Whatever your Pittsburgh Steeler Hall of Fame is, he'll be there right within whatever the time period is after he retires. He'll be there. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's an all-time great. You know, bro, you got all the accolades. You talk 10 quarterbacks ever to play the game. Can Ben be in that conversation? I'd say probably. We'd have to go through it, but I wouldn't argue with anybody who said, you know, I think Ben might be top 10 all time when you look at total everything, everything he's done. But right now, sorry. If I'm the Rooneys and Tomlin, it's thank you, Ben. We wish you well. If you want to go try to get with another team, we wish you the best. We're going to start over. We're going to look at the draft. There's a guy named Justin Fields who kind of didn't have a great game last night. We'll touch on that, but he might be available, and there's others. But that's how I feel. He got to go. No more excuses. No more living off the past reputation. He's got to go. JB, what do you think? Go to you next.
Well, I guess I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. I'm not too much in agreement with the whole Juju thing, even though it sounds like he's starting to morph into a little bit of an AB, just a little bit, although kind of too soon to tell. Big Ben, I think, obviously his best years are definitely behind him. But I think the biggest problem is the fact that that team lacks a running game, which means they also lack an offensive line that can produce holes to get the running game going. I think with this particular game in general, it was a perfect storm at the wrong time. I mean, and K-Star basically said it. First snap, over the head, touchdown, downhill from there, and it just continued to snowball. We've seen that happen in other games where you have one play occur and it just the whole game gets out of hand. But they need – obviously the defense needs to get shored up, but when you have a defense that's suspect, we'll just leave it like that. And T, you and I have experienced that with the Cowboys. When you have a running game that can milk the clock, that will help the defense. And I think the problem they've had, even when they had the 11-game winning streak, when they had the 3-game losing streak, still was an offensive line issue, and the back of the defense, the secondary, is an issue. I think I would focus on those areas first and foremost, because those are the ones that have seemed to be most problematic and most glaring throughout the whole year.
And Jay, I respect your opinion. I could not disagree with you more, because what you are missing is this is a game of people and emotions And leadership matters. And Ben is not doing a great job. Their quarterback is an issue. Give a fuck about their run game unless you get your quarterback on point. He's not on point. Your top priority is your quarterback, not your running back, your quarterback. And Juju is a distraction. And we have seen what happens when you have talented, at least reasonably talented, wide receivers that are distractions. They cut ties with Antonio Brown. Juju can't on his best day. Can't be Antonio Brown. And guess who's returning to Antonio Brown format? Antonio Brown himself. And Juju on his best day can't play that level. We've seen what wide receivers, the number one supposedly, or your starting wide receiver, that is a distraction. And then you have a quarterback that ain't getting the job done. Yeah, you got to get to the running game. I'm not saying, obviously, they got like one of the worst running games in the league. But when your quarterback ain't playing, period, like he's just not playing well. I love Ben as a competitor. I mean, game against the Cowboys, and it hurt his arm and went and came out and played, you know, like the guy's a warrior. But there comes a point in time where you just got to look at a guy and say, you know, it happened with Peyton, right? Peyton had the neck surgeries, and it was time, you know. Drew Brees right now. It's like, is Drew, you know, Drew's going to get through the year, but all indications are this might be it for Drew. The only one that keeps playing no matter what is that damn Tom Brady. Jesus Christ, we're going to see him roll out on a wheelchair one of these days and throw for 400 yards. Dr. Train, how do you feel? Jay's got his viewpoint. I respect it. I don't agree with it, but I absolutely respect it. It's his. I've got mine. He doesn't agree with it, but he may not even respect mine, but that's okay. But how do you feel?
Man, I'm a little shocked. Like, I know the Steelers hit a rough patch, but I didn't expect that. I think that it looked like a game where they underestimated their opponent. That's what it looks like to me. And the Steelers definitely got some things to fix, but I didn't think that fix was needed to beat the Browns, because the Browns are the Browns, as the players put it.
Or are they?
I didn't. Right. So I didn't think it was needed. That was needed to beat the Browns. You know, I thought the Steelers had that under control. You know, and we were getting on the Browns last week, saying, you know, they were so happy that they made, you know, they beat, you know, they seemed celebrating so hard that they beat the second string.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, they were also celebrating they made the playoffs. That playoffs was a big deal for them. They've been doing 17 years, but, man, they were hungry. And it showed. The Steelers definitely got the issues that you guys brought up. The Steelers got those, and they need to fix them. I just didn't expect that to be the reason why they get knocked out by the Browns. I thought that this game was definitely the Steelers to have, you know, edge them out even closely. But for sure, you know, I thought to see them in the next round. So I won't repeat what you guys said. Basically what you and Jay put up front, quarterback, running game, offensive line, and that definitely needs to be fixed. But I'm just shocked because it's the freaking Steelers and Mike Tomlin, and they didn't look anything like a Mike Tomlin-led team on Sunday. They look ill-prepared,
you know,
underestimate their opponent, all of that.
Ryan Clark said something. I'm curious K-Star's thoughts on this. Hey, all you guys. But Ryan Clark said, you know, Ryan Clark played for the Steelers, won a Super Bowl with the Steelers, although he didn't play in the Super Bowl game because of his blood condition, but he played most of the season. But he said that the Browns looked like the Steelers. He said that's what you saw was a traditional Steelers team. That's what the Browns look like. I'm curious, K-Star, if you looked at it that way, since, you know, it's your team.
Nah, I didn't look at it that way. But, I mean, I can see what he's saying from a stylistic perspective, where the Browns were more physical front. They were able to, frankly, move guys off the ball and be successful on the ground with both running backs. You know, typically that's more of a Steelers motto.
More physical.
So – yeah, absolutely.
Offensive line, defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely were outplayed on those, on both, you know,
quarterback making plays
ball.
Like Ben used to do.
Talking about Ben, I agree at the cap price. I agree at the cap hit, that's too much. He needs to definitely restructure if he's coming back, if we want him back, which I personally do. I mean, you know, we were down 28-0. There was a point in the game where we actually had a chance to – it looked like we were coming back, possibly to win the game. One of the biggest calls I thought that changed momentum, we were, I believe, maybe down 4 or maybe it was down 8. I can't remember the exact score, but it was 4th and 1. I think we're on the Browns 40. And we decided to, unfortunately, take a delay of game and call a punt. And that led to a Nick Chubb touchdown. I thought that was probably the second turning point of the game. And, you know, I do want to give some credit to Ben. He did battle back and, you know, engineered 30-plus points on the board, you know, which you expect from a Hall of Famer. But, again, just as a Steelers fan watching the team all year, the defense, man, was so strong. And for it to be so soft, despite being, you know, banged up a little bit, that is just not what you expect to see, and probably the most disappointing thing of all. That's been the most consistent form of our team, and it just completely fell apart. And it was just
I'm just
disaster.
Wondering if you watched your team over the last 4 or 5 weeks, because you're kind of living in that 11-0 time period that's been gone.
Yes.
Your team over the last month and a half really has not been the same team that we thought it was. As Dr. Train introduced on this show many years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers sold us a dream. they didn't deliver. We had them as a top 1 or 2 team throughout the season, you know, going back and forth with the Chiefs and arguing about the fact that, you know, the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Steelers and the Chiefs. And now it's like, yeah, okay. Them teams play now, the Steelers get wiped out, you know, like,
yep.
I'm honestly not trying to rub it in your face. I'm really not. You would know if I am. I'm not.
It's true. I can't,
because I don't like the Browns. I don't like Baker Mayfield. I'm sitting here waiting on the Steelers to wipe them up. I'm like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, what am I watching?
I couldn't even get a hand on it, man. It was so bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
So bad. But you're right. The team did fall apart the last month of the year. I mean, the defense.
Yeah,
the thing is, even though the defense certainly didn't play as well the last month, but for it to bottom out to that degree is just disgraceful. And just 48 points at home, which is the most we've ever given up. It's just so sad.
Yeah. And you know, I were GM, Ben and I would be having a long talk. And, yeah, I would cut Juju or trade him. Or, you know, I don't know what his contract status is. But Juju
he's
would have
up,
to go.
He's up for yeah, he's up. He's up to be a free agent. There's no way we're
okay,
signing him. He's a good player, but he's not worth it.
Wish you well. You're too immature. Can't deal with you. But yeah. Where I do agree with Jay is right after when you figure out your quarterback and you take care of Juju, that running game is atrocious. And, you know, offensive line, new running back, whatever. But that would then have to be your next focus after for me, Jay said he'd do that first, and I respect that. For me, it's, okay, Ben, let's sit down and talk. Hey, Juju, here's your garbage bag. Clean out. No, you ain't coming back. wish you well, you know. Give you good reference. And then, yeah, man, that running game. Ooh, boy. You got teams that have 2 running backs. Y'all ain't got 1. You know? So,
Yeah, we never did quite fill Le'Veon Bell's void, so we gotta do that.
Yeah, but you know, y'all talked yourselves into believing that James Conner was okay, you know, and I'm like, James Conner is not Le'Veon Bell. Is it me? Why are they sitting there talking about? Well, you know, he's okay. You know, you think, you know? I mean, no, he ain't. I never said
he's just average. He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy, right? He's a Jag. He's just a guy. He's just a guy. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, any other thoughts, JB, Train? Did we miss anything? Y'all got it. We good. Anything else?
No, I think
good.
Y'all covered
good to go, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a shock. I think we're all just shocked at the outcome. If it had been a close game, if it had been 28-24 or something like that, then I think the conversation we're all having would be a little bit different. But to just see the absolute abomination, especially in that first quarter, and in his case, the first 48, ain't that a TV show or something? First 48?
Yeah, it's about homicide. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it definitely was a homicide.
What's that? We got murdered. Yep.
The show did.
Yeah.
But I mean,
So as we roll from one disappointment to another, but is he disappointed? You know, I had somebody, my buddy, Fred, who's a Steelers fan too, and he was just like, he was just like, hey, look, I asked, what you gonna do? You know, oh well. I was like, damn, bro. Okay, well, don't call into my show. But shit, you boring. but he asked me, he said, hey, how's your friend Train gonna feel? And this is what I told him, and Train, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I said, Train was happy to make the playoffs. And I'll be honest, I tweeted this. I said, man, you know, once Saturday arrived, nothing else mattered. The season didn't matter. Your record didn't matter. It was like Train and K-Star got to watch their team play a playoff game, and me and JB didn't. And I'm like, man, it would have been good. You know, Washington just care what happened. They got to play. We didn't. It's like, it doesn't matter. All that, oh, you go in and you just that. Yeah. No one cares when the playoff starts. And that was my feeling on Saturday. Nobody cared. We had six games to watch, and that's all people cared. Nobody cared how you got there, why you got there. Nobody cared. And I said to myself, I said, Train is happy that his team made the playoffs. Now, I'm going to ask Train to comment in a minute, but here's something for everybody to think about. You make the playoffs. You take a path to get to the playoffs, and then you lose. There's no shame in that because you made it. And getting a chance to win a championship, like, why is that ever a bad thing? Okay, if you're Kansas City and you lose, you know, you might be a bit disappointed. But why is that ever a bad thing? You had a chance. My team didn't have that chance. That's a bad thing. Steelers had a chance. Bears had a chance. But, you know, at K-Star, your team lost and all that, but you had a chance. You were there. You got to watch your team one more week, and, you know, hey, it's all good. Train, talk to me. How do you feel, bro? Your team lost, but they were there. How do you feel, bro?
You're not far off at all, to be honest with you. And that's exactly how it happens. Sunday came. I was excited. I was like, oh, shit, we are actually in the playoffs. It's been a minute, you know. We got a chance here. We played them close the first time around. The offense was putting up points towards the end of the season. Yeah, Green Bay, they're different, but we got a chance. And for 2.5 quarters, man, I was lit until it was 14-3. Then I was like, fans, it's been a good ride. We've enjoyed this. Thank you, Bears, for putting up a fight for 2.5 quarters. I don't think the fans could be, like, extremely disappointed. We're just, you know, we're stuck in what I call football purgatory now.
Yeah.
You are 8-18, and your quarterback position is broken. And your head coach didn't know how to develop your roster and get the best out of all the people that was brought in. What do you do? You know, what do you do?
I'm going to ask you point blank. Two people I want to know. I'm going to start with the most important person. Would you bring your head coach back or not? Your head coach, would you bring him back or not?
How can I answer this question? For me personally, I wouldn't.
You would not.
I would not. I think.
Okay.
After watching this team for 3 years under him, Vic Fangio did a lot that first year. Holy shit, he did a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Second person.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Trubisky. Would you bring him back? Would he be your guy? And I don't mean to compete. I mean, yep, he's our guy.
Since you put it that way, no. What I saw in that game from Mitch in short was, you had one good year under college. You had a kind of a rookie year under Fox that went, but hey, that was your time to get your feet wet. And in your third year under Nagy's offense, you can't throw the ball downfield. You can't find the open man in defenses for teams that you play multiple times in a season. There's no major progression, but yet Saturday I watch fucking Heineke like really keep hope alive for the Washington yeah. football team. For a minute it was like, wait a minute, who is this kid? Then you looking at Mitch, you're like, who is this kid? What is he doing? So no, I just don't know that he'll ever get there. Because I'm like, man, how long does it take you? The average quarterback can throw a freaking football downfield and hit the open man.
Although you got to say, that one trick play where he hit
oh, my
hit
God.
Your,
oh.
That I could have caught that ball. I mean, he threw that one right on the money. And your guy
so just
yeah,
so,
like.
Just so you know, it was after halftime, and I was still not over that play.
Oh, dude, that's the kind of play.
I was not over.
Let me put it this way, bro. Let me help you here. Let me help you. I'm still not over Dez's catch because he caught it.
In
2015. Because Dez caught that ball, and I'm still not over it. Okay, so
yeah.
I'm planning on getting over that catch anytime soon, okay? We're going to be talking about this catch. You know, Pamela Harris
oh,
will
my
be
God.
President, and we'll be talking about that catch. I'm just saying.
I couldn't – it was – I felt like it – basically, and someone wrote up an article, they said that drop from Javon Williams sums up the Bears' season. I was like, you're
yeah.
absolutely right.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
I was just like, the last thing I'll put, because, and these are only just little frustrating points where I'm just like, God damn it, man, grow the fuck up. Are you serious, Anthony Miller? The coaches
oh
take
God.
10 to 15 minutes during the week in preparation for this game. They took 10 to 15 minutes to sit your ass down with the rest of the receiving corps just to tell you, leave that guy alone. And you still
yep.
decides to shove him, and they called it a punch, but still, you can't keep your hands to yourself. You can't just keep walking. I know you from Memphis, Maine, in town, one town, but nigga, whatever.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. Javon Williams can't catch, and you can't keep your composure, and both of y'all together is dumb as shit. Get rid of both of them. We don't have the time for that, man. We're trying to win football games.
I want to add one thing to this equation. First of all, you're spot on. Spot on. I mean, I don't know what you can actually cut players. You know, I don't know if there's anything that stops you from cutting a player during the game. Like, send him to the locker room or something, take off his jersey and put him in a cab and send him home. You know, you're fired. I don't know if you can do that, but he would be fired. Both of them would have been fired. That catch is inexcusable in a playoff game. It's inexcusable anytime. But in a playoff game, like, how do you drop that? To go to your quarterback for a minute. Something I learned this weekend, and I'm curious if you guys agree or disagree. When you ask if he's a guy, he ain't the guy. Because I watch Heineken. I know that ain't his name, but that's what I'm going to call him. And I said, Washington got a quarterback.
Yep.
quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Hebert over at the Chargers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took that job. Did he ever give it back? He got the
nope.
job because the medical staff screwed up in giving Tyrod Taylor an injection and accidentally punctured his lung.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't breathe right. And at the last second, they said he can't play. Hey, look, kids, it's your team today. He never gave the job back. Like, Tom Brady came in because Drew Bledsoe got nailed. Never gave the job back. Dak Prescott came in because Tony Romo injured again. Never gave the job back.
Never gives the job. Yep.
Like,
yep.
If you have to ask yourself, is he the guy? Then he's probably not the guy. And we have had to ask several times, is Mitch the guy? And I want to like Mitch because Mitch kicked our ass this year. You know, I don't want some guy mm-hmm. that's unknown to have a game against us that whooped our ass. I want to say, well, yeah, look at Mitch, you know. He's a future Hall of Famer. No, he's not. But that's what I've come to understand. If you have to ask the question, that means he ain't the guy.
Absolutely.
JB, what do you think?
100% agree. I mean, it's really not a whole lot for me to add to that. 100% agree. If the question comes up, then you've already answered your question. And I think for Train, the hard part is making the playoffs is great, but now you have to figure out somewhere in the draft where you're going to get your quarterback. Now, Mac Jones is a possibility. I keep hearing him sliding down on the latter half of the board in the first round. But like he said, if you got to ask the question, then you don't have a quarterback. Could not agree more with that one.
Well, all right, as you would say. Steelers are home. Bears are home. Doug Peterson is home. He was already home, but he ain't coming back. JB, I'm going to ask you,
man.
As an NFC East person, I'm going to start with you, JB. Did you see that one coming, Doug Peterson getting fired?
Well, just after our show, there was rumblings about this meeting that he had with Jeff Lurie, the owner, and they didn't go well at all. And that's when things started. And in the NFL, where there's smoke, there truly is fire. And there certainly was smoke. And I think even on this show, I think there was some possibilities of it happening, but it just started to ratchet up as the week progressed. And then when they said, when he had his next meeting with him, it really determined whether or not he's going to keep his job. And kind of like what you just stated, T, about if you got to ask yourself, do you have a quarterback? You don't have a quarterback. If you're having these meetings and it's dependent upon how that meeting goes, whether or not you're going to keep your job, chances are you're not going to keep your job. I think for me personally, my opinion on this is, the way he handled that quarterback situation in the fourth quarter was a nail in the coffin. You already had a bad season. You've already been eliminated. To go out in front of the media and say you wanted to see what your fourth-year quarterback had, and you're putting him in the game when your starting quarterback, although not playing well, is putting you in a position to win the game, but you pull him. Nah, nail in the coffin right there. And then add to the fact between him and Wentz, Peterson and Wentz, that relationship been fractured. And then we already talked about dollars and cents anyway. So between dollars and cents and the fact that he's having these forced meetings, kind of was his way of getting exited out the door.
So last week we talked about the fourth quarter issue of Benson, or I think it was the fourth quarter, benching Hurts and bringing in Stidman, whatever his name is. That his name?
Stidman?
New England. Sudfeld, thank you. And me and Jay had big problems with it. And K-Star and Train, y'all didn't agree. We'll start with you, K-Star. Because clearly that, among other things, led to Peterson's firing. Do you think it was a justified termination?
Well, I don't know if it had to do with his firing or not. My interpretation when he made that call was he must have had spoken with the general manager and gotten the green light. Now, if he didn't, then I think that would justify the firing, right? Because now he's making a decision.
Wait a minute. Why would you ask the general manager? You talking about the fourth quarter decision? Are you talking about Lurie? You talking about the fourth quarter decision that Peterson asked the general manager?
That. Or the owner? Yeah, I thought he had gotten that signal from above. That's a bit above his pay grade, in my opinion.
to make a
well,
call like that.
Well, you're the head coach. I mean, what goes on in that 60 minutes is your decision. You're the head coach.
Yeah, but, you know, if you were going to bend – if your idea is to tank, you would imagine if you're a responsible head coach, you probably talk that over with management before, you know, pursuing that yourself on the field. And if he did not do that, then I think that justifies the firing. Because all things else considered, I don't think he deserved to be fired. He's been a good head coach for them. How he – they this is the same franchise that fired Andy Reid, brought this guy in. They won a Super Bowl a few years after Chip Kelly, and now they're getting rid of him. So he has a winning record. They've had some good teams. I think that is premature unless, again, he made that decision without the authority from above, because that, to me, is the only thing that could justify it, because I think he's a pretty good coach. Definitely shocking me.
I wasn't shocked, to be totally honest with you. You have your all.
Do you not think he's a decent coach?
I think he's okay. I think he's better than what they've had, other than maybe Andy Reid, who's obviously reborn over there in Kansas City. He's a better coach in Kansas City than he ever was in Philly, Andy Reid. He was good in Philly, but couldn't get the job done. But Chip Kelly was terrible, and I can't remember who they had after Chip Kelly. That's how inconsequential the team is. But
not Doug Peterson.
Good. I don't think he's great. What's that?
It was Doug after Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
It was who?
It was
Doug,
Peterson. It was Peterson. Yeah, it was Peterson after Chip Kelly.
Oh, Peterson
after
was after Chip Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought there was somebody else in there in the middle. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but that said, I agree with the firing. I agree with the firing. I think he lost the team. I think the fourth quarter was the icing on the cake, but the whole – I mean, him and Carson Wentz, remember, we've always talked, quarterback, head coach. That relationship has not been working out, and somebody had to go. And most of the time, when you have a expensive athlete and a head coach, that head coach going to go. That's what I've seen over the years. Train, what are your thoughts on this?
So one of the things that I did say last week, you know, even though I didn't have an issue with him, how he handled the game, my main concern was it did not look like he had discussed this game plan with his players. It looked like his players were not expecting this to happen. And I'm not surprised by the firing from that perspective, because once your players have an issue with how you handled them, and didn't sound like it was just one, sound like it was many, then you have an issue. You can't, you've already lost your locker room. So even though I didn't have an issue with how he handled the game, if you never discussed this with the guys that are playing on the field, if they didn't expect or he see this coming, you know, especially in a game that there's nothing in it for you except playing it and possibly keeping the team out, but there's no game for you. It's more for Washington. You don't discuss this with them, and they grumbles like that. Man, you lost them. That's a wrap. Yeah. So I don't see it surprising from that perspective. No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valid. I think that holds more weight than trying to, you know, get permission from your general manager or whatever. I don't think any head coach, I don't even know, you know, that he would even say, yeah, we were trying to tank. I think he would legitimately say, I needed to evaluate the next quarterback, because I think Peterson was done with Wentz. I think that's where him and Laurie don't agree. And a lot of it is, look at how much money they paid this guy. I mean, we just got through talking about Ben. Well, you know, Ben's got, you know, come on now. Ben's got history. Ben's got accomplishments. And, you know, so if someone has to make the decision to not keep Ben, if Ben doesn't, you know, if Ben's not willing to renegotiate, well, who knows? Maybe the Steelers don't want to renegotiate. You know, I don't know how that plays out. But a Ben is one thing. But Carson Wentz, who's accomplished nothing with this team, and let me be clear, he has accomplished nothing, not a thing. So I think that is going to be a very interesting thing to watch in offseason. I think Peterson lost his job because of his relationship with Wentz and then alienating players based on what he did in that last game. And Jeffrey Lurie had enough, said he got to go. So goodbye. As a Cowboy fan, I'm okay with that. Be in dissension. I'm good. Just don't get Eric the Enemy, please. Please don't get Philly.
Honestly, and I'm glad you brought up. I really hope he doesn't go because he's already paid his dues as a coordinator for quite some time. To go from where he's at right now to being the Eagles head coach, where you're mired in a quarterback controversy, you're up against the cap, aging team, and you don't have a whole lot of talent on either side of the ball, man, that's like going from heaven straight to hell. So I really hope he don't go there.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Jay, there's only 32 of those jobs out there. And sometimes, and I hate to always be the guy that has to go there, but he's black. You know what I mean? I mean, he's black.
And
okay,
that's my point. That you and exactly, he is black. And when you have the Falcons job available, you've got the Chargers job available. Hopefully, he's in the running for one of those two positions. And if that's the case, I hope he's clear from anything regarding Philly and takes either the Chargers or the Falcons job.
I don't disagree with that, but my point is when you're a black head coach candidate, he's not going to be Nick Saban coming into the NFL and have carte blanche or Lincoln Kennedy and have carte blanche. It's, I don't give a damn how much, you know, how many Super Bowls you've been to as a coordinator and whose assistant head coach you were. It just doesn't work that way for black head coaches in this league. So if he gets that opportunity, it's going to be hard for him to turn it down and hope that one of these other jobs comes open. It just, unfortunately, it just doesn't work out that way. I hear you. I don't disagree with you as far as the quality of the head coaching jobs. And I don't want him there because I expect he's going to be damn good. That's what I expect. Why the heck do I want him in my division? Stay out of my division, you know? Because I think regardless of the quarterback controversy and all that, I think he can handle it. I think he'll take care of it. So I hope he does. Oh, my God, no. Don't come to Philly. Please don't come to Philly. But speaking of coordinators, JB, I'm curious because we haven't had a chance to talk. So Dan Quinn gets hired. And for everyone out there listening, Dan Quinn was terminated as a Atlanta Falcons head coach. And he does have a Super Bowl appearance as a head coach underneath his loss to the Patriots, famous for giving up a very large lead against the Patriots and losing. And he's also was the defensive coordinator for many years of the Legion of Boom with Richard Sherman and all them boys, Wagner, and, you know, that very, very talented defensive team over in Seattle. That's what got him his head coaching job. So now he is the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. And I'm curious, and guys, JB and I have not talked. So I have no idea how he feels about this. So I'm curious, JB, your thoughts.
I actually like the hire for several reasons. One, it brings back a little bit of normalcy, let's say, to the defense because it runs the same scheme that Marinelli and obviously Rashard, because he's a disciple from Quinn back when they were at Seattle. I think from what I read and what I've heard and seen, what Nolan was trying to do with all this hybrid message, no, just go back to playing a solid 4-3-D, and that's what Quinn is playing. And that's really what Quinn cut his teeth on, being on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm happy to see that. Even though, granted, he did give up the huge lead in the Super Bowl, at least he got him to the Super Bowl. And he's got that head coaching experience that it can be valuable in some respects, even though McCarthy's got just as much, if not more, head coaching experience. He does have more. Head coaching experience. It's always nice to have another person who's been in the trenches with you from a head coaching perspective that you can bounce ideas off of. The other reason why I like it is the timing. gives them a chance to really start going to work right now. Quinn's been out of a job for a couple of months. He's had his vacation. It's time for him to go to work. And with it being early January, unlike last year when Nolan was hired and then you got the pandemic and not a lot of time to really get the players involved, at least he's there right now, can meet with them however he needs to and start to get to work on a defense that was absolutely porous. So overall, I like the idea. I like the hire, I should say. I like to see what other transactions are going to take place. Obviously, we need a defensive line coach, so I like to see who comes in. But for a D coordinator, I'm fine with it. I'm happy with it.
You know, when I heard the news and I heard he was the leading candidate, I said, eh, okay. You know, and then I heard it, you know, they came to a deal, and I'm like, eh, okay. Like, it didn't move me because, you know, what have you done for me lately? And, you know, it's nice to have the reputation of coaching a bunch of superstars to being one of the best defenses ever to play the game. You're not going to have that in Dallas. You're going to have some, you know, there'll be some good players and there are going to be some Jags, okay? And it's kind of what you had in Atlanta, and, you know, you blew a lot of leads. I mean, you left Atlanta with a reputation of not being able to hold a lead. And I've always felt that a head coach, you know, the team that you're coaching should be a reflection of what your talent is. You know, Jason Garrett was an offensive coordinator. So for many years, the Cowboys had a very prolific offense, and it reflected Jason Garrett's strength. Sean Payton, offensive coordinator, you know, and look at, you know, now this year the Saints, in all honesty, have had a pretty stout defense too, but historically the Saints have been a powerful offense. Mike Tomlin, defensive coordinator. And in spite of the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive prowess they've had, because they've had some superstars over the years, we know what their defenses look like over the years. And so I don't know that we saw enough of that in Atlanta for me to be happy and say, okay, even though Atlanta stunk and whatever, you know, his defenses, you know, held it down. And, you know, I don't know. His defense, they were okay. They're all right. So I wasn't moved by it, but I'm not disappointed. I was more happy they fired Nolan. It's like, good, you know, because you never know with Jerry Jones. Once he likes you, you never know. They fired Nolan within the week, and they got a guy in there right away. And one thing I do agree with now, and there's no excuses now, he can go to work. He can get to work evaluating players and getting a scheme together and, you know, figure, you know, like get to work looking at getting involved with the draft. And, you know, please, and there's a lot of talk about Patrick Surtain. I remember his dad when he played. Patrick Surtain Jr. possibly being there for Dallas at pick 10. Oh, that would be great. Oh, man, I would love that pick. So on that level, I'm happy. But, it didn't move me. It was like, okay. I wasn't thrilled. I wasn't mad. It was kind of like I didn't have any emotion about it. Like, if they had hired Swartz, I would have been mad. I don't like him. You know, there was talks about could they bring back Wade Phillips. No, thank you. He was a good defense coordinator, but we've had him once. You know, it's okay. We don't need him again. Marvin Lewis, okay, maybe. I don't know. He was a good defense coordinator in Baltimore a long time ago. Like, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, it just felt to me like there was nobody out there for me to be like, I want him. Please go get him as defensive coordinator. So, you know, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. But anybody would be better than Mike Nolan. I think Train could go in there and coach the defense better than Mike Nolan. Honestly, I do.
You know what? Okay. The 49ers coordinator, but I know he's not going to get go from being a D coordinator from one job to another. But if there was ever anyone, Saleh from the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no reason. Why would he want to do that?
Well, that's what I said. He's in my head coaches. There was ever someone, because you're saying, give me somebody to be excited about. It would be him, but he's in line for a head coaching job.
Yeah. Okay. So before we talk, Train, are you in position to do picks for this divisional round?
Yeah,
Yeah, I can actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do
so
picks.
A couple more topics, and then we're gonna go to picks. But the first one is, I'm curious. I'll start with K-Star. Your thoughts on Belichick refusing the national medal? I think the national medal was Medal of Freedom. Is that what it's called? I never got it, so I don't know. But I think it's like the highest civilian award.
It is the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Presidential Medal of Freedom. Yeah. And Belichick respectfully declined, and he cited the recent events in Washington and didn't feel that it was appropriate and has declined. And just curious what you guys think about his decision to turn it down. So start with UK Star.
I don't know. I mean, he has the right. He probably did the right thing. I'm not sure if he accepted. I feel like he accepted the award before from Trump. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I think it's someone else. But yeah, I mean, if I were someone from the Patriots organization or basic the NFL in general, I would steer clear given last week. So I definitely understand and appreciate why he would decline that award.
Dr. Trey?
Had no problem with it. Glad he did it. Separate yourself from this fool. That's exactly what's in office, is a fool. A crybaby, not a man, not who knows how to deal, not anyone that knows how to deal with competition, someone who wants to be a dictator, and someone who does not care enough about humanity and will do whatever it takes, no matter how many lives it take, to get what he wants. Thank you.
I just wish, Trey, that you would tell
we'll appreciate
us
that.
How you feel. I wish you would just tell us how you feel and stop half-stepping, Trey, because, you know. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Well said. JB?
I wouldn't accept anything from that bastard. Only thing I'd accept from him is his resignation as to be president. That's it.
Yeah. I just will add, I agree with all of you. I will just add, I gained so much respect for Bill Belichick after that, because, you know, he considers Donald Trump a friend. You know, a lot of people outside of the political arena were friends with Trump before he got involved in politics and ran for president and all that. And, you know, you could have easily seen this go the other direction. And to me, I think Trump is understanding that at some point you just lose. And I don't just mean the election. You just lose. Like, I watched Lindsey Graham say, Lindsey Graham was, like, totally in Trump's corner. And he said, look, it's time for me to say this. I'm done with all of this. Joe Biden won the election, and it's time we move on. Mitch McConnell is a piece of garbage, okay? Let's just call it like it is. For 4 years, he supported Donald Trump. He came out and said, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be our next president and vice president. It's time for the madness to end. Now the word is he may support impeachment. Like, Trump is understanding that all of your friends, air quotes, at some point, you're not going to keep friends when you treat them like you're treating them. And this, to me, was a publicity stunt. Bill Belichick is, you know, the Patriots, they're like, you know, look, there's only one America's team. Let's just put that out there. It's the Dallas Cowboys. But the Patriots, over the last two decades, have become very popular. They're one of the most valuable franchises in the world. They have a great fan base. You know, Brady's jerseys are still selling today. His Patriots jerseys are still selling to this day, if you can find one. I mean, like, the team is got a great following. And you could say whatever you want about Bill Belichick, and he cheated, and he did this, and he did that. But no one can say he's not a great head coach. The guy is the best to ever do it, period, end of discussion. And that deems a level of respect that few people in NFL can have. He's on another level. And Trump was trying to use that to win, what does the book say, how to make friends and influence people or something, right? And Belichick said, no, 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 no. You ain't using me, bro. You dug your hole, you deal with your hole without me. Turned down the highest civilian honor out there. Although I will admit, I don't know how much that honor would mean coming from this guy. Even though he is a legally elected president, I don't know that it would carry the same weight as Obama or Bush or Clinton or Bush or any of the other previous presidents. So kudos has really grown on me in this last year. You know, his press conferences, he's been a little more talkative. He hasn't quite been the jerk that he used to be. You know, he says things like, wow, that's a really good question. I'm like, wait a minute, let me rewind this press conference. What did he just say? That's a good question. Bill Belichick said that? The fuck? And don't get me wrong, I hate the Patriots, but Belichick, I commend you. I take my hat off to you. Great job. Excellent, excellent job. And then, you know, I don't know, you know, last night's game, I did say we would talk about it. It disappointed me greatly. I was texting with my brother, like, you know, hey, you know, who do we root for here? You know, and I told him I was going to ride the field train. I needed to have a team to support. And Justin Fields had so impressed me against Trevor Lawrence last week or 10 days ago, whatever it was. And, you know, I was in his corner and I was like, yeah, you know, oh, I got it. You know, train last week. Well, do you think they're making them a Fields? And, you know, all of this. And he went out there and didn't live up to what I expected to see after the exceptional game he played the last against Clemson. He didn't. No.
He got rolled. He got rolled tied, man. That's all.
Yeah, he
happens,
did.
It happens to the best of them. He got rolled tied.
Yeah, it does. But you know, these are the games. Like this is where you get. You know, you go into this game even if you lose. Even if you lose, you go and you play well and you play hard and you play competitive, you improve your draft stock. You send that message that maybe that guy isn't the number one pick. Maybe it's me, or maybe I'm a top five pick. Maybe I'm, you know, I don't believe he sent that message. And I know how good Alabama is. I don't watch a lot of college football, but I watch a lot of football. It doesn't take, you know, anybody can see Alabama just, especially this year, was on another level. Okay, I get it. Nobody has to tell me, well, wait a minute, he's playing Alabama. I get it. But bottom line is 10 years from now, it's only going to show that he lost 52-24. you know what I mean? It's like you lost and you didn't play that well, period. So I'm just curious, you know, where, and I guess I'm asking more towards an NFL kind of slant, but did you guys walk away with any – well, I guess I'm missing something that I'm sure one of you guys are going to speak about, so I won't take it away. I walked away – my one thing I walked away from, I'm going to leave the other obvious one for one of you guys to jump on. Maybe I'll start with Jay. I owe this to the college football guru, so I'll start with Jay. But before he speaks, I walked away with saying Justin Fields is going to be a good, maybe even a great NFL quarterback, but he's not going to be the number one pick. He'll be a first-round draft pick. He will not replace Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick, and Justin Fields will be in the first round somewhere. I don't know where, but he will be a first-round pick somewhere. That's what I walk away from. And I wanted to walk away saying, hey, I don't know, guys. Man! Nah. JB, what did you walk away from, pray tell?
That Devontae Smith is a bad man. Woo! I knew you throw that up, and I'm going to smack it out the park. Dude had a first half that some folks have over the course of three games. It was ridiculous. The defense knew he was getting the ball, yet you still got 12 for 215 and three touches. And they knew you were getting the ball. So the way he had that one catch on the sideline where he had to turn his body and still caught it going out of bounds and put both feet in. That is a thing of beauty. That's when you know you've got something special with this player. Yes, he's the Heisman Trophy winner. Yes, he puts up remarkable numbers. We get all of that. But, and T, we talked about this in text. I said, I took Bama, but I was more concerned about watching Fields, watching Smith, watching specific players. And I really wanted to watch him because I didn't get a chance to watch him as much as I wanted to. After seeing how he handled himself,
against the Ohio State defense that ain't bad. Let's just it ain't bad. It didn't look good because they're going up against a juggernaut, but that's not a bad defense at all. And he shredded them like wheat. They knew he was getting the ball, and Sarkisian was putting up plays and designing plays to put him in position to get him the ball, and he got it, and he took off. He took advantage of mismatches, and if it weren't for the dislocated finger or injured finger, I don't know if it dislocated or broken, but he could have had himself a 300-yard night for sure. It was just – it was an amazing display, and he was just, I think Herb Street or Fowler said, dude is just businesslike. No emotion, just he'll celebrate with his teammates, goes out there and plays. And there's an it factor to that as well. So I was really impressed with his play. Some of the defensive players I was impressed with, but just seeing how a Heisman Trophy winner living up to the hype, knowing that he's supposed to be the focal point for the defense to stop, and they still couldn't stop him. And a dude that ain't much bigger than me. That's saying something.
I do want to ask. I mean, I don't know. I don't have to answer it. I'll just say this. It is a shame for Ohio State to give up 12 catches for however many thousands of yards he got in the first half. And yep. I watched the game, and – like, I don't understand. I'm sorry, there's no wide receiver that good that you just, I mean, put two people on him so he doesn't catch it. Hey, there you go, double coverage. Now beat us another way. Instead, they refused to do it. You know, we went zone. They rolled coverages his way. Like, I'm like, how, like, you know, like, does anybody, when he's at number, like, six, you say, man, this guy's getting off. We need to do something about it. Or when he got to 8 or 9 catches in the first half, guys play 4 years and don't get that number in a game, or as Jay said, in 3 games. He had 12. So at 8 or 9, did anybody on that defense or the defense coordinator, head coach say, okay, we've got to take him away? They may beat us, they may stop us, but we're going to stop him. Like, I don't get that. My pride alone would not allow this guy to continue to dominate us like that. And yet that motherfucker, like, oh, my God.
That's where I give credit to Sark for the game plan he put together. Because I think, obviously, the name of the game was to stop him. But he kept figuring out what they were going to do. He was always a step ahead of that defense. And he was putting schemes together where he was getting favorable matchups, burning them before they can get started.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but there's a defense for everything. You may not be able to win the game, you may not be able to win every play, but if you want to stop one person, you can commit the necessary resources to stop one person. And they would not that they couldn't, because you can. And it, I don't care what team it is. I don't care if it's the Jets in the NFL. If you're like, okay, we're going to stop him. We're going to let everybody else can do what they want. We'll take our chances, but you're not getting off on us. And they did not do that because there's 12 catches in the first half. Man. All right. K-Star, any thoughts on the championship game?
Man, Alabama is just a unit, a machine. You know, the fact that they can make Ohio State, like, look inferior – pretty much on every single side of the ball, or on all sides of the ball, and almost at each and every position is insane. Like, they're just in their own tier, in their own league. And, the Alabama football, the Alabama college program is just, it's the Patriots of the college football era, when, you know, the Belichick Brady era. It's just insane.
Trent, anything to add?
Well, the receiver, sorry, real quick, the receiver, oh, the receiver, Devontae Smith, right? Is that with him?
He
reminds me, just from a stylistic perspective, he reminds me a lot of, like, Marvin Harrison. I haven't seen a receiver like him in a while in terms of his route running. He was so smooth. That was crazy. Shout out to him for such an incredible first half.
Yeah, they didn't say. Trey?
Um, So how many Alabama players are going to get drafted in the first and second round before even another school is thought about? That's what I want to know. God damn, man. It's like the whole team was like, we all get drafted this year, okay? No worries. You know, get in on this. We all get drafted this year,
and that's
man.
Year after year.
Oh, my gosh. The one question I'll pose to you guys, it was just an interesting conversation I heard on First Take. Knowing football and what makes teams successful, and T, you guys can probably definitely speak to this because you guys chose a skilled player at a really, really high position. Knowing that you need an O-line, you need quarterback, you need the trenches, and you need a quarterback to really sustain competitiveness for years in the league, do you spend top five picks on the skill positions like Devontae Smith?
Hell yeah! I saw the First Take discussion, and you know I Max talked about Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill being fifth round picks. Okay, look, things change, things evolve, and you know if you're a team that's a player away from, you know, I mean I could definitely see someone grabbing him in the top five. Absolutely. I would have no problem with that at all. He looked to me like a rare talent at that position. And he had the right personality to boot. He wasn't, you know, braggadocious, so he was very unassuming and very matter of fact about it. I mean, and you know he's well coached because we know Saban's as good as you're ever going to get, you know, like, so that matters. So for someone coming from Alabama, Heisman Trophy winner, champion, college football champion, yeah, yeah, if he fits my scheme. And if I'm the Jets and I'm trying to give Sam Darnold some weapons, hell yeah, I'm going to get him. I ain't going to wait. You know what happens when you snooze, you lose. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's actually how you have to treat it. You have to treat it what's currently on your team now. And if you don't need offensive line and you don't need quarterback and you just so be having to sitting at the top of the draft, you know, no one can knock Atlanta for going after Julio. Because the dude was a beast. And he turned out to be everything that they traded for. You know, now national now winning an NFL championship, you know, probably should have ran the ball when you got there. So, but yeah, it was probably well worth it.
Yeah, I do want to make one comment unrelated to this topic, but as far as playoff weekend goes, and then you guys can respond or not, then we get into picks. But I sat all season and listened to Ezekiel Elliott and all the criticism. He doesn't look the same. He doesn't have the burst. What's going on? He's not the player he used to be. Maybe the carries are, you know, I listened to it all year, everywhere. And I'm sitting there saying his all-pro center retired. His all-pro left guard is out for the year. His all-pro right guard is out for the year. Left tackle and right tackle were out for the year. His all-pro right guard was in and out of the lineup. They even moved him to guard for a little bit, and then he got hurt and was gone. And the left guard was a starter. He played most of the year, but he's a jag. He's not, you know, I mean, you can't have five all-pros, okay, so. So you literally had one guy that was a part of that dominant offensive line and everybody else was a fill-in, move around, try to figure it out. And they had one of the highest number of offensive starting offensive lines in the NFL. And yet people gave him such a hard time this year. And everybody anointed John a blank, Tennessee's running back.
Derrick Henry.
What's his name? Derrick Henry, thank you. The king, and 2,000 yards. Oh, my God. He's what Zeke used to be. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Heard it all year. And Derrick Henry's a beast. Don't get me wrong. He's a beast. But I have said this, and I will continue to say this. In my life of watching football, there is one guy that didn't need an offensive line to be successful in my days of watching football, and that's Barry Sanders. Everybody else needed a line. And I can go back to watching OJ. Everybody else needed a line. I didn't see Gale Sayers. I hear before Barry Gale was one of those elusive, you know, maybe Gale, but I didn't watch Gale, so I can't comment on Gale Sayers. I didn't watch Jim Brown, so I can't comment. He's another guy that ran through everybody, and maybe, you know, so maybe there's a couple of, but from my time, from the 70s of watching football, Barry Sanders was the one guy, not even Walter Payton, and I love Walter Payton. Walter Payton was phenomenal. Not even Walter Payton. Not Emmitt Smith. None of these guys. Everybody needed an offensive line to create the opportunity, and they took full advantage of it. Derrick Henry and Tennessee, and Tennessee got whooped at the point of attack. Whooped! Derrick Henry had 18 carries for 40 yards because he didn't have the offensive line providing him the opportunities. Can we stop it now? He's a great running back. He really is. And he will have another great year next year, I'm sure. But can we stop with offensive line's job is, one, protect the quarterback, two, provide holes. Or if you're running it, then first job is to provide holes for the running back and then protect the quarterback. That's their job. And if they're not getting holes and you're getting the ball and you're looking at a linebacker or a defensive tackle, other than maybe Barry Sanders, you're going to get tackled and the play is over. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. Any comments on that, or do you guys want to move on? I just felt the need to get that off my chest. I was very annoyed. Very annoyed. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, bro. Let's do it.
All right. It's all yours.
Well, we have four wonderful games this weekend. Last week, we had six wonderful games. So we had a Browns win, and none of us were in on that one. We had a Saints win, and I can't help, I got to pull for my team. We had a Bills win. The Rams defense is for real. K-Star's only one got that one. We were all in on the Bucks and all in on the Ravens. So the most part, everybody comes in with one loss, with the exception of myself. Well, two losses, I take that back. I have three losses. T and Louis Brother J has two losses. And I think K-Star only had one loss from last week. Yup. So this week, though, these four games, man, are worth, whether if you're a football football fan, you have to sit down and watch these. So I didn't really put them in order, the dates that they show, just jot them down. But we got that vaunted defense of the Rams headed to Green Bay. Green Bay ended on a hot streak. Goff is playing without a thumb, but the defense is killing it. So, Jay, who you have, man?
Yeah, you're right. The Rams defense is for real, but we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Going past it.
Yeah. K-Star, who you got?
All right. I got a caveat. Aaron Donald. If he plays, I like the Rams in the upset.
Aaron Donald is playing.
You need to cut that crap off.
Aaron Donald.
There we go.
Aaron Donald.
Hey, bro, Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. Yeah, okay. I like the Rams.
He's playing.
Every week with you.
The Rams.
Contingency.
The Rams in an upset. The one weakness in the Packers' defense has been the run game. The Rams run the ball exceptionally well. And last year, if you remember, the team that gave the awesome Packers offense the most problems were the 49ers' defense. And the reason why was their defensive front. I think the Rams pose that same threat. You have Ramsey.
What the fuck does last year
can,
have to do with this year?
It has to do with the fact that schematically, teams with a great front four can give Aaron Rodgers problems. And you have Jalen Ramsey, who's going to cover Devontae Adams like the Rams in an upset.
Only if Aaron Donald plays. So I bring up
he's playing
Jalen Ramsey. He's really
good.
If Aaron Donald plays.
He's expected
to I'm giving you additional analysis.
I'm just making sure because you said, well, you know, Jalen Ramsey. But you don't give a fuck about Jalen Ramsey because you said if Aaron Donald plays, I'm picking the Rams. If Aaron Donald plays, I'm picking the Packers. So evidently the Jalen Ramsey thing doesn't matter. Am I misunderstanding you?
They work together.
That's correct.
But yeah, Aaron Donald.
Oh, no, they don't want to say the contingency. Your contingency is Aaron Donald, not Jalen Ramsey.
Hey, bro, Aaron Donald's fucking playing.
He
did.
But if he doesn't play. Well,
he's
well,
not fucking playing.
Next,
he's playing. He's playing.
Well, last year, I don't know what the fuck last year has to do with anything because last year Patrick Mahomes was MVP. This year, it's pretty clear it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's playing on another level. Clearly, he's playing on another level. Devontae Adams is clearly playing on another level. Come on, man. Let's go be the Packers. Come on, man. Get on out of here with that stuff. Dog playing without his thumb, man. It's going to be the Packers. Goff, they were so happy to have Goff play that he was the backup last week. They had the other guy, the no-name guy, in there to play instead of your guy that's, you know, who ended up playing and they won, so I don't get that. Yeah, nah. Sorry.
Just for the sake of just picking correct games, because I don't want to see the Packers go all the way. It's not, you know, that's distasteful. It's not a bad taste in your mouth. Yeah. But I'm going to pick them because as good as that defense of the Rams is, the one thing that I think I've, as a football fan, I kind of appreciate it. Watching the Packers over the last 2 years is the head coach LaFleur. He took one of the most talented and strong-minded quarterbacks who was having issues with McCarthy before leaving, and all this rumblings of he, you know, between Rodgers and LaFleur and you know, can he get him to do run his offense the way he run? That off. Was like a well-oiled machine. So, and I give a lot of credit to LaFleur, and he does have a Hall of Fame quarterback there for him. But you know, when you can come in and fix what another head coach could do, it's a big deal. And he made some changes there. So, true enough, run game, their run defense is struggling, but I still like the Packers in this in cold weather where Goff is playing without a thumb.
Four fingers.
Yeah. Okay. We got the red hot Tom Brady. Another bad taste in my mouth. Going down to the they just whooped our ass Saints. Oh, man. I'm over it. I'm over it. But yes, Tampa Bay is going to visit also another strong team in the Saints who has kicked their ass twice this year already. So, Jay, what do you got?
Gosh, logic tells me to go with the Bucs because it's so hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. It really is. But I'm going to throw conventional thoughts out the window. I'm going to roll with Breeze because they've got Kamara healthy, Breeze is healthy, Thomas seems to be healthy. They didn't look as sharp as what I expected them to look, but I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right. K-Star?
Going with Tom and the Bucks.
is very tough to beat a team three times. Their offense has been hitting a nice little stride. AB, ready to make some plays, and like the Bucks. The offense of the Saints have been struggling a little bit lately. I think the Bucks defense was playing really well. So, Tom.
Okay. T, express your love for the Saints.
Well, I, you know, it's not about love. It's, I think they're a better team. And with all due respect, I'm going to say what Shannon Sharp said because I 100% agree with him. All of this, and this ain't nothing to do with Jay or K-Star. I hear this all the time. It's hard to beat a team three times in a row. No, it ain't. If you're better than them, Dallas beat Philly. I think it was 2009, I want to say. I'd have to go back and look. Three times in one season. Beat them twice in regular season, beat them in the playoffs because they were the better team. If you're the better team, you will win. They're not getting into the game. Drew Brees isn't getting into the game thinking, my God, I got to play these guys a third time. How am I going to win? Like, you know, all of these statistics are great for, you know, people on TV to talk about. But when these guys go play, you know what these guys call all of this stuff? Noise. Because it doesn't matter. They're not going out there thinking, how are we going to beat this team for a third time? They're thinking, we're in the playoffs. We play well in the playoffs as long as we don't get screwed. Because I'm more worried about, are they going to get screwed again? I'm not worried about whether they're going to play well. Are they going to get another bad call? And that seems to be what follows the Saints in the playoffs. But they are the better team. Tom is playing very well. Good for him at 43. Drew Brees is playing pretty good, too, at 42. And he's got his entire cast. He's got Thomas. He's got Kamara. Like, you know, I just think they're the better team. And he's got one of the best defenses he's had since being in New Orleans. Nah. It's not because I like the Saints, because I think they're the better team. Because
you like the Saints. Got it. So. I got you, man. No disagreement there. And I'm all on board for exactly what you mentioned. I hear these whole numbers of beating a team three times, but, you know, you don't pick who you play during this regular season. You don't pick who you play in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, I don't expect all of a sudden the Saints not to play well because, oh, crap, we're playing them a third time. Nah. Nah, it should be Tampa Bay. Oh, crap, we're playing them a third time. That's right. Really how it should look. So I'm going to go with the Saints myself. Plus, I don't want Tom Brady to get anything. Just be honest. Next up, man, this one – This will be a fun matchup to watch. We got the Ravens traveling to a red hot Ravens. We can call them maybe a little red hot. Traveling to definitely the red hot Bills. That team is for real. I don't know if anybody recognizes them. They're for real. They're led by K-Star's MVP. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Jay, who do you have?
I'm going with them not because of that statement, but I think the Bills overall are just a more complete team. I think Lamar got the monkey off the back last week with that victory, but I think Josh Allen is playing on another level. I think the defense is playing right where they need to be. Stephon Diggs, I really believe, has been part of the keys to the makeover that is now Josh Allen, so I'm going to take the Bills on this one.
All right. K-Star. MVP or bust, bro.
Oh, man. I feel like it would be going against the brand, my Steelers brand, and the Josh Allen bona fide brand to pick the Ravens. But I'm going to pick the Ravens. The one problem with the Bills is their run defense. The Colts had a really great shot last week of beating them. The one thing the Ravens do extremely well, better than any other team in the National Football League, is running the ball. I think that between that and their opportunistic secondary, they can make enough plays to win the game and control the clock, and I think that they will pull off the upset. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. T?
You know, he's not often right, but he pretty much said what I was thinking. The Colts actually had a chance to win that game. But, you know, I've said for years, Phillip Rivers cannot win the big game, and he can't, you know, plain and simple. But I think Lamar Jackson is going to be the X factor again. This guy is just – I mean, I never in my life thought I'd see another Michael Vick. And I honestly think he might be a touch better as far as how he's able to run that ball. It's amazing what he was able to do. 136 yards rushing. Derrick Henry had 40, by the way. Did we already talk about that? He had 40. Michael, Lamar Jackson had 136. I'm going with the Ravens, and what I think on paper might be an upset. I think the Bills are a good team. I think they're a good team. I'm not on the Josh Allen bandwagon yet. I'm just not. I wasn't months ago when K-Star called him the MVP. He was an MVP candidate. I told you he wasn't going to be, and he's not going to be the MVP. I said that months ago. No, he won't be your MVP. You can let that go. And I think I pretty much told you guys who the MVP was going to be with about a month ago in the season. And all accounts are, I mean, we don't know yet, but all the indicators are that I was right. But I'm going with the defending MVP, Lamar Jackson and Ravens.
All right. Defending MVP against K-Stars MVP. I like it. So, I'm going to go with the Bills. I've liked what I've seen mostly from the Bills really all season. And they are a tough team. I'm looking for their speed on their defense to try to keep up with Lamar Jackson. But, you know, I think the Ravens defense, which was hit his struggles at some point, definitely got up for last week's game because Derrick Henry and they were tired of Tennessee running all over their ass because they did it twice this season. They did it, you know, once this season already and then all up to last year. So it was a great rematch. But I like the Bills here on this one. Last but not least, we got the surprising the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. All those Browns fans out there. I got a friend I need to text, man. No one was looking forward to this. Cleveland Browns going up against Patrick Mahomes and the high flying Kansas City Chiefs. I check this won't take long, but Jay, who you got?
You know this ain't gonna take long. Come on, man. Browns or the Browns with the Chiefs.
K-Star, Chase Claypool said the Browns are going to get clapped this week. So do you agree with the players from your team? Do you agree with Chase Claypool?
Hey, man, we lost, and it's all good because the Browns will get clapped next week versus the Chiefs anyway. The Chiefs.
Woo, boy. Chiefs, what say you, sir?
Chiefs. We should have already been done with this one. Chiefs. This is easy.
We are definitely all in. I just had to get that Chase Claypool comment out. That was hilarious. Talking about
quote,
somebody bitter.
That quote was fucking funny.
That dude was so bitter. It's going to get clapped. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Mm. Or mad. If I'm Baker, I'm like, maybe, but we'll be playing. So, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, shut up. Right. You know, you lost, you know?
Man, all our receivers just be talking shit. We gotta change up a little bit. This is
Yeah, man.
Systemic, yeah, man.
I don't know.
Systemic.
That culture matters.
It does. It
I know.
Does.
It's just surprising. It happened under Tomlin. It surprises me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all the picks,
so,
man.
Thank you.
That's all we got.
Thank you. I think we covered everything, and I'm tired. It's been a rough week already, and it's only Tuesday night.
Gosh.
Final thoughts. We'll start with, I don't know. We'll start with the K-Star. Final thoughts, K-Star.
Yeah, Browns are going to get clapped. I'm sad. Go Chiefs. And Yeah, looking forward to the divisional weekend. It's usually a really good, great weekend of football.
All right, JB.
After this past weekend, I really hope that the current playoff structure maintains itself and it's just not a COVID thing. This was fantastic. This is what the doctor ordered. So I'm glad and grateful this occurred. Looking forward to the divisional game, like K-Star stated. Looking forward to the discussions on it, and also looking forward to seeing what other shoes are going to drop in regards to firings and potential hirings. That's always interesting to see what happens during the off season. So looking forward to all of it.
I by the way, the playoff structure was not done because of COVID. It had nothing to do with COVID. They were doing this regardless. So this is the way it's going to be, unless I happen to agree with you. By the way. I think, you know, it's not my time to talk, but I happen to agree with you. I thought it was phenomenal. But who is it? That was just K-Star, right?
Train.
Yeah.
Train's
JB.
Next. Train's next.
Do you really tired,
JB.
Man. No, JB just went.
JB just went, bro.
Train,
sorry.
Train,
you're next,
brother.
Like I said.
I got you. So, man, all I'll say is, the league made it through, 17 weeks in the midst of a pandemic and no major breakout. That's still amazing to me to this day. This playoff format has been kick-ass, especially since my Bears benefited from it. But I like it, fighting for that one top spot, you know. And the games coming up this weekend, all four of these are pretty nice. And looking forward to just seeing all four of them and holding on to what's left of this season, because once it's gone, it's gone. Yep. Once it's gone, it's gone.
All three of you guys went, right? Did I miss anybody?
You are good, T. It's all you, man.
Okay. I'm just tired. We do the shows at 9 o'clock because we got a guy out there on the West Coast. But the last part of the show, I start fading because it's just, you know, after all working all day and I'm just tired. So and I got to get up early tomorrow for work. So, let me say briefly, I love the new playoff format as well. Very happy about it. As far as my opening comments, we've got one more week of this full, and then we can actually start with a normal presidency and getting ourselves together again and starting to actually look like a decent country. And I'm so looking forward to that. And the last thing I'll say on that is I think – the press, all of the press, starting January 20th, need to get together and agree to not cover Donald Trump anymore. Like, just whatever he does, he does. Leave him. Twitter got smart and banned him because he abused their platform. You know, the other conservative communication thing, Parlay, I think it's called, they banned him. You know, people are getting smart. I think the press, all of the press, need to say thank you for your service. I didn't really need to say that, but and then stop covering him. Just leave him alone. Move on. Because I don't want to see him for the next 4 years and all the crap. I don't care. Let him go. Bye. Go. Came at a great time this year, right? The games came right on time to get our mind off of all this other stuff, COVID and the president and all this stuff. And I'm looking forward to it again this weekend. Go NFL. We love you. So for Dr. Train, K-Star, and for JB, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Enjoy the games, and we'll be right back here next week talking about the outcomes because they will be settled on the field. Good night, everybody.